Hello and welcome in to Camel Call, presented by the Fighting Camel Club. With Evan Budrovich and Lyndall Suggs, I'm Chris Sehmeyer. Thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast, which you can find on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, the Varsity Sports app, and GoCamels.com. We come to you once a month to put some perspective on the wonderful world of Camel Athletics, review what was, get you set for what is coming up. And coming up on Monday, basketball season is back. The season for both the men and women begins here in Buies Creek, a doubleheader starting at 5:30. Coming up later in this episode, I go in-depth with head men's basketball coach Kevin McGeehan with a full season preview. It's a great look at this team with some really impactful pieces, especially some new pieces, and we will touch on it just a little bit briefly here, fellas, but bottom line, this is a bigger, faster, deeper team that is really something to get excited about.
Yeah, I think this Campbell squad right now, they had a lot of transfers come in, which I think was necessary for this year, that first year transition from Big South to CAA. We saw what type of guys that we would need to go get or to bring in, be a transfer or high school, and I think Coach McGeehan has done that, bringing the guys in. So we're a lot taller, we're a lot more athletic, we're a lot faster, and so we'll see what they're able to do. But through scrimmages and practice, they look very promising right now.
And I love the new terminology. So Kevin always gives us a word every year we can keep an eye on. This year it's honcho. So the head honcho runs kind of that point forward, the operator, the Andrew Udy. We've had others throughout the years. Like, that's the position I really like this year because we brought in size and we have a high point transfers playing well. Like, that ability to mix guys in. Colby Duggan's been healthy, mm-hmm. and he looks a lot better. You're right, though. It's a neat combination of not only depth but health combining together. And then with Sinani, who's been around, has run the offense with Tassos, like, to have guards that have done it too. Because you guys know how complicated this offense is. I think that's going to help us a lot in the first month, first couple weeks.
It's a shame we don't have video on this podcast yet. It's coming, folks, but yet for many reasons, but also because Angelino from Los Angeles, Evan Budrovich, he's a Tar Heel now. He's been here over 10 years, but he is wearing a Dodgers baseball jersey and a World Series Dodgers cap. He has been a Dodger fan forever, so he deserves this. So we'll let you touch on the big win over the hated Yankees.
I'm wearing my Clayton Kershaw jersey, and for those who know baseball, he's had as much postseason adventures up and down. That was a crazy series, and a friend of the podcast, Chris Downey, used to be our graphic designer here. He's a Yankee fan, so that was a fun week of, you know, sharing some love back and forth. But, man, between the Royals winning two, the Dodgers winning two, this podcast is like pro baseball. Baseball fans.
Who's your baseball team, Lyndall?
My father is from the Bronx.
Okay. So. Oh, no. I didn't even know that.
All right. Rough week in the yeah. Suggs household. Right. We apologize.
Oh, man. Or I wouldn't have rubbed it in. I'm sorry. We love you. We just don't really like the Yankees. All right. Back to basketball. You know, the women, they are home heavy early. November 14th, they take on High Point. November 19th, ETSU. And this season, especially when you think of talking to head coach Ronnie Fisher, he gave us a preview of the season last week on the Camel Call Live podcast. I invite you to go back one episode and listen. But he's excited about this team. Now, look, they are young. After graduating seven from last year's team, seven, if you can believe that, he thinks this is the fastest team he's ever had, but he'll tell you this is also the youngest team he's ever had. We all know, and he does as well, it takes freshmen some time to get used to the college game. But guys, I really think it'll be fun watching this team, how they develop, how they gel, and Ronnie Fisher, one of the best X's and O's guys out there.
Five freshmen is a challenge, right? And in the private scrimmages against Winthrop, he basically went with a freshman lineup, you know, for big stretches. What I do like is Gemma Nunez, sort of like we saw with Luana Serrano, as she gets more comfortable running this offense, she wants to play at a pace. When she was overseas in Spain, that's the speed she was used to. You know, we had a team that was veteran. It was kind of a four out, one in with Christabel getting 20 touches a game. That's not this year's team. It's going to be a five-guard lineup, which I'm trying to think back in 10 years of Ronnie. We've never had a five-guard lineup, even like the Michaela Rouse teams and, you know, teams of yesteryear. So the speed and the tempo that he can play with the defensive intensity, they'll learn that as time goes on. It's not going to be perfect day one against Mount Olive, but I think him speeding up his offense will lead to some, one, more entertaining second halves. I think, two, we have been so good at this program the last 10 years, I think there's going to be some challenges early in the year. But that's a good thing, right? You want to get better for the CAA. And then with the experience coming back, like having Shai Tuli on that bench to guide these players through moments that she's seen for 6 years of basketball, I think that's an underrated part. This coaching staff's young. They're hungry. I mean, nobody works harder than Ronnie, but I think having young staff helps with that. And then having these young players, and really the team of November versus the team of January is going to be night and day.
Yeah, I think as long as the girls can shoot well, I think they'll never shoot themselves out of the game, or they'll be out of the game. Again, it's a younger, more developmental team that we're looking at. So as the season progresses, I might not look at first like the normal Ronnie Fisher team that we're used to seeing, of course, just because of the changes and things like that as far as a portal. And, of course, like you mentioned, Christabel Azuma, she's now at Alabama, and so how big of a loss that is. But interesting to see how it's all going to play through this year. But I really think if the ladies can shoot the ball well, they'll be in a lot more games this year, especially come January time.
Yeah, no doubt. There's a lot of basketball early. I told you about the women, three of the first four here at home. But the men, they'll play the doubleheader. They go at Virginia, so playing UVA out of the ACC. And then back here a week from Sunday versus St. Francis. And then a week from Wednesday, they play what is their, believe it or not, their final home game until December 4th. In fact, they play just one home game in a month from the middle of November until the middle of December. Here at the end of the podcast in my interview, Coach McGeehan really explains the intentionality of that. But come and see both these teams early, because they're not going to be here very much for the rest of the month. Ticket to GoCamels.com. Kids 12 and under in free again this year. Also, we are giving, this is new this year, season-long discounts for Harnett County Schools teachers, staff, and administrators. So all the information at GoCamels.com. Our other winter sport, right there alongside swimming, which will be back at home here in a week. But our wrestling team, their season starts tonight. We are taping this on Halloween. But tonight on Halloween, they're on UFC Fight Pass taking on Wyoming in a big rodeo ring in Cheyenne. This team is loaded. And look, this is a really good Campbell wrestling program that has been really good recently. This could be their best team from top to bottom that they've had in a long, long time. Five Campbell wrestlers ranked in the top 30.
And the story, if you get a chance, go to the Campbell magazine. Tay Gadi Ali, his story of going through trouble early in his career, possibly leaving Campbell, and what Scotty Sentis has done to unify him, and like we mentioned, All-American candidate again this year. That was a neat battle at the Barn last year when we beat Wyoming, and kind of the new creative ways. You go to a fort, you go to a base, now you get the rodeo. Like they've tried these ways to make UFC Fight Pass a great value proposition. And Campbell's been the first program. There's others now. Missouri's has three events. We have two this year. But like that exposure is hard to fathom.
Yeah.
Combined with five ranked wrestlers, like up and down the lineup card, there's good options for Scotty.
Yeah, they're favored to win the SoCon, and you talk about creativity. Their first home match, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks, November 15th, they are going to wrestle on the infield of Jim Perry Stadium. They're going to roll the mat out there, outdoor, against top five ranked Nebraska. That's going to be nationally televised on UFC Fight Pass. So another outstanding wrestling season about to come. It is championship time for our fall sports, believe it or not. Our men's and women's cross-country team, they run in the CAA championships on Friday, just up the road in Elon.
Yeah, more like the women's basketball team, this is a team that, you know, Evan Darm, the head coach, is right now he's trying to experiment with what he has. And the age of the portal and things like that, normally when a coach leaves, the team leaves too. And so this has really not been the case on the cross-country side because, you know, Coach Darm was in charge of the distance in the cross-country. Most of his guys and gals stayed around, but they were freshmen last year, and now they're sophomores. And so trying to get them on the right path, get them on the right plan. They've only had three meets so far this season, so not a lot to go off of. But again, because it's three seasons in one with a cross-country and track and field program, they're now really building towards the spring so they can crescendo. And I think with the break that they have between now and January, the start of indoor season, and then with outdoor season right on the heels of that, I think we can expect a bunch of PRs coming through by the end of the year and a few first place votes. It won't be as of past with the electric sprinters, but it'll be more of Campbell in the past before the Givens era where we're really leaning into our distance guys. But I also believe vertical-wise and jump-wise, vertical jumps and horizontal jumps will also be great this year as well. So.
And Evan Dorm was a competitor on the 5, Pete, in cross-country. Think back to the Kenyan era. We think about eras. But that was a time where Campbell dominated the Big South. Hard to say what they'll do this week in the Elon area, but he certainly knows how to win. And now with him sliding into a new role and guiding this cross-country team, that's exciting just in itself.
Yeah, and exciting, again, to have an alum and someone who has been a part of this, you know, golden era for Campbell Track. Just incredible what they have done, what Coach Givens has built, moved on to ECU, and that happened late, which contributed to the fact that it was really hard to get a squad together. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do. There's a big one here at home this week in our men's soccer team. They will take on Elon this Saturday night at 7 here at Campbell. It's their final game of the regular season, and a lot rides on it. With a win and a little help from the rest of the conference, Campbell's men's soccer team will be one of the top 6 teams in the conference and qualify for the conference tournament. Let me tell you how tough CAA men's soccer is. So Campbell right now is ranked 6th in the entire Atlantic region. That is tons of teams up and down the East Coast. They are ranked 6th. The 5 teams above them are all in the CAA. So this is a Campbell team that has an impressive 8-5-4 record, but their conference is so tough they might be on the outside looking in.
So Hofstra's a top 25 team consistently. Elon has been ranked and has a top 10 win. College of Charleston has a top 25 win. Like, every team you look at in the books. Now, the fun part for Campbell is you want to get in the tournament, you got to beat the best. And Elon's right now the best-ranked team. I will say Fonders Club, they struggled to score in the middle part of the season, but they've grinded out wins, especially the last two. They've been tough at home. You look at their 5-year record at home, it's like an 85% win percentage. They're going to need some help, like you said, to get enough points to get in, but you don't want a Campbell team to sneak in as that 6th seed.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. Don't let them get in if you're the CAA. This a team is as dangerous as any team that's going to be in the tournament. And as we talk about, obviously you have your few top 25 teams, but I really don't think Campbell men's soccer is far off from that. If you look at their losses this year, it's been to the tougher teams in the conference and in the country so far this year. So I don't think they're off. So don't let the record fool you as they haven't been great or they've been middle of the pack. It's really a top-heavy men's soccer conference in the CAA, and everybody is really good.
Well, and that's something we all have to adjust to in the CAA. You know, anywhere between 10 to 14 teams are in this conference for all of the sports, and they do what we had called for a long time in the Big South, and many people weren't used to. They just allow, it's usually the top 6, maybe the top 4. They don't allow everybody into the conference tournament. The regular season means something, so these are some very good teams that are left out of the conference tournament. Again, it makes it fun. It's what it should be, but just because a Campbell team doesn't make the conference tournament doesn't mean that they're not good. Case in point, our women's soccer team, their season is over. For the second straight season, they have missed out on the tournament, but they have had some awful luck. If you can get this after playing a very tough non-conference schedule, they started undefeated in the conference, and then they went through 4 straight one-goal losses, all to conference opponents. 3 of those games they lost 1-0, and yet it still came down to the final match of the regular season. Last Sunday, they had a chance to win and get into the conference tournament and just came up a little short.
Jeff Gross is a heck of a teacher, man. Like, what he's done to revamp this roster, overcome injuries. They've been competitive at home the last 2 years against some of the best teams. They've struggled on the road, as any team could. But what I do like about them is they've gotten consistently better. They had an amazing recruiting class 3 years ago. And I think next year, as that group, Liberatas and others, get older, they have a chance to get back in the tournament. And like you said, this isn't the Big South. It's not High Point or bust. Every team you play is probably just as good or better than you, which is that's a hard adjustment, you know?
Yeah, it's gonna take a lot to overcome this. Like, it's not gonna be a runaway thing with any team, really, in the conference, as we've seen across all sports. It's just not gonna be you run away with the entire conference and you're down to the top 2 and then you get in. And you, like, for volleyball for a few years, it was like, hey, we just know we see high point in the conference championship on the final day. It's not one of those things here, especially not with soccer. So to see what, you know, Coach Gross is going to bring in next year to be able to revamp the roster, to get scoring up, you lose Callie Backlund this year. So that to see what he's able to do to revamp the roster, to get things in place, would be interesting to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And this just, you know, how close they are, you kind of focus on the last game. If you win, they end, they didn't. In two of those 1-0 losses during that rough stretch, if they win that game, those were two of the teams that finished above them and then got into the conference tournament. So if you have a 1-0 win instead of a 1-0 loss, you're in the conference tournament right now. I want to tell you about a really special event that's going on here with Campbell Athletics. It's the second annual Orange Tie Gala. The gala has moved to the fall. It'll be the fall from here on out. It's coming up November 22nd at the Raleigh Marriott City Center, all for raising funds for scholarships for Campbell Athletics. Great food, great drink, a silent and a live auction this year of some incredible prizes, even including a week-long beach rental for a five-bedroom place down on the coast. So that and a whole lot more is coming up. There's a lot of information about it on GoCampbells.com. You can get your tickets on the upper right-hand corner. Push the Orange Tie Gala button. That's coming up November 22nd. That's the Friday before the last home football game of the year, the Orange Tie Gala.
Maybe next year we throw in a come in the booth with us during a game type of thing. You know, I've seen that in a lot of places.
Well, we want to get the things that'll be bid on high.
Right, not so, the $5.
Other than all of our parents, though, probably it would be a bidding war between our three wonderful moms. But the Orange Tie Gala on November 22nd at the Raleigh Marriott City Center. Really a cool, really a classy event, and I invite you to come. Still in on the fall sports, are a volleyball team coming off a two-match sweep at Hampton. They take on rival UNCW this Friday at 6, Saturday at 3. Just wouldn't you know it, I've got the two play-by-play guys for the weekend, and they're sitting here at the table. So take it away with the preview, fellas.
So there's an avenue to get in. It's a complicated route. It basically requires winning out and then getting some help. Now, thankfully, they're playing Northeastern, who's kind of at their level.
The schedule helps them here at the end.
UNC Wilmington, who struggled coming in, multiple losses straight, and a Stony Brook team, it's basically, they're the sixth team. So if you beat them twice, you get in. You know, getting Tupi playing better has been good. They had a freshman of the week this week. They haven't been healthy at the setting position, and that's kind of let them off, and then replacing Claire Ann has been a whole challenge at libero. But, you know, you give Greg Gorrell a couple weeks to just figure it out, take care of business. You could try to go to Northeastern and win these two here against Wilmington. Like, you do have to draw a lot of lines to make it happen, but there is a route to end the season, which started with injuries and could end with a playoff berth.
Well, let's put that into context. The fact that we're still talking playoffs at this point, even if it's just the sixth spot, with, you know, they started the schedule tough against some of the top teams in the conference. Delaware, Hofstra, Charleston, they started the conference really, really tough. So to come on the back end of the schedule to see what they can do and hopefully play, all of these teams that they're going to play are all fighting for the same spot. So it's going to be more like playoff volleyball for these last 3 weeks for Campbell. So if they get in, they'll be tested with some high-intensity matches.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you can see those matches on Flow Friday and Saturday. Evan and Linda will be on the call. Our Campbell football team back on the winning track. They beat NC&T last week and on homecoming football. Now 2-2 in their last four games. It was a good win in front of a great crowd. It was a packed house on homecoming, a sellout. Campbell starting QB Chad Masco left the game with injury in the first half, but his backup, who has played a lot, Mike Chandler, he got it in and got it done.
Yeah, Chandler's elusiveness is fun to watch, but then when he extends plays and finds Sincere Brown, I mean, his explosive plays, he had two big ones for touchdowns, and you could hear Lendl's call. Like, that's what makes Sincere special, is not only the breakaway speed, but if he makes a tackler miss, especially in this conference, I mean, he's going to be a first-team All-CAA player. I think defensively, too, they showed against A&T, they limited long drives, an A&T team that's really good in the red zone. They're top 10 in the country when they get in the red zone, and we stopped them for field goals multiple times, right? And they missed a couple kicks, and you play with a lead. Like, that's going to be our style. We're a much better play-from-ahead team than play-from-behind. And now you look at it, like, Rhode Island's 4-0, Stony Brook's 3-1, You play a good Richmond team coming up. Like, we came into the year saying, oh, this is a middle to lower half schedule. Now it's a top five schedule in terms of toughness in the CAA.
Yeah, the teams Campbell have lost to have either been ranked or are ranked even in the non-conference.
I mean, when you think about the Masco situation, him going down in the second quarter with that injury, most of the time a backup comes in and it's just like, we have a two-score lead, don't lose it. But when you look at the sideline, there wasn't really a shift in demeanor. And that's because both of these quarterbacks have played. Chandler has had entire drives to himself. And so the guys are used to him. At practice, he takes team one reps. So it's not something that they're uncommon with. They're not used to him not throwing him the ball or the handoffs and the communication there. Chemistry is built. Now, obviously, if Masco's out this weekend and looking to see if when he returns or if he returns this season, then hopefully at that point we're looking at, well, the chemistry is being built between him and his guys. But like you said, that explosive last touchdown throw in the fourth quarter, he not only can run the ball, but he can throw the ball.
Yeah.
He's a really good thrower.
No, absolutely. You make a good point. Remember, there was one time in fall camp when Chandler was number one. They went back and forth with that. So it'll be interesting. Masco, the last report we got, not a season-ending injury, and he could be back this weekend. So definitely, if he is, business as usual. If not, you know, Chandler is right there. Mark Biggins, Campbell's starting running back, is back, and that's going to make a difference
that
as well.
That physicality was noticeable.
Yeah.
The way he ran the ball and moved defenders, you know, because Malinowski's a good running back. Obviously, we love to talk about the local Andrew running back, but to have that size and be able to really power the football, that was something we had missed the last few weeks.
Well, it takes the pressure off of JJ, the freshman. You know, he doesn't have to be the back. He can now split his duties up with, and then, of course, Mark Biggins coming back with fresh legs. He's been sitting down for, you know, 4 weeks. He's been out for a month. And so he comes back. He has fresh legs. And that was obviously noticeable because he would pop out a run immediately, you know, make a defender miss. And now JJ can play free, which is good for him because he was running the ball all over the place, and they ran the ball well this weekend.
Well, let's give this defense a lot of credit, too, limiting this team to 7 points. They're without their two top linebackers. C.J. Tillman, unfortunately, out for the year. He is one of the best players on the entire team. And then other guys just step in and step up. Jalen Brooks, again, had a sensational game, and it was just it's just amazing to see this defense kind of next man up mentality, and they got it done.
Well, and many things don't get past Jalen Brooks, of course. Ooh. Many things don't get past him, but I'm also impressed with Logan Livermore as well. Try to say that 5 times fast. I'm also impressed with him and the linebacker because Jonathan Melvin goes down, and now he steps into the role. It's like, hey, you're the guy now, but we got to give credit to the D linemen. They haven't stopped the pressure all game, which now allows the linebackers to play free. And then when you're putting pressure on the quarterback, that eases your DBs back because they don't have many things coming their way because the quarterback is under duress. So I think for all intents and purposes, when you lose your top two tacklers in the beginning of the season, the defense has stood well, and they've given the offense times to be in the game, to put points on the board, to stay in the game.
And we buried the lead. First CA win for Braxton Harris, right? And remember, his first win was over Western Carolina, and that was a huge ranked win at the time. I think for him, too, it's Campbell in the past, under previous regimes, has struggled down the stretch. I do feel as if we're playing better football the later we go, and we'll see that with Delaware and Richmond and some good teams, like how Campbell responds to adversity as the season continues.
Yeah, it's a really tough schedule. This Saturday, Campbell travels 90 minutes up the road to take on Elon. It'll be at 2 o'clock. Lyndall, Jay Sunhalter, and I will have the call on GoCamels.com and the Varsity Network app. I'm excited to see what these Camels can do in this one. Elon, a team a lot like Campbell. They can beat anybody. They lost to Western, but beat NC Central. Campbell did the opposite. And again, it would be a big win if they can get it. Campbell back home next Saturday against 18th-ranked Richmond, then on the road at Delaware, final home game of the season, Saturday, November 23rd versus Towson. And as what Evan said, it's about what can this team do in November? Do they keep getting better? It's a tough schedule, but it'll be interesting to see what they can do The final Camel Call live of the calendar year will be this Thursday, 6:30 to 7:30 at Napper Tandy's in Anger. Head coach Braxton Harris will be our guest, and Kevin McGeehan will also be on the show as well. Homecoming, we talked about what happened on the field, but so much going on off of it. Again, if you've never been here for a Campbell homecoming, it's a sensational. But
just come next year.
Yeah, let's definitely. But what a treat. The first women's soccer championship team in Campbell history was here. The first women's golf championship team was here. And baseball, under first-year head coach Chris Marks, who was an assistant, has ties to so many guys, part of the brotherhood that came back. But Chris Marks had an incredible turnout. He wanted to host a big alumni event. He had 55 guys here all weekend, including current major leaguers Ryan Thompson and Zach Neto. And Ryan Thompson and Zach Neto were really good dudes when they were here, and they're really good dudes now, even though they're major leaguers and they're in a very different tax bracket.
Yeah, well, the tax bracket's very evident. But talking to Zach, I saw him at the football game. Even just the conversation about his mom, like Maggie,
yep,
who still likes every tweet that Campbell puts out, athletics yeah, or otherwise. And then his dad, who's still working as a post in the post office. And just the story of him in 2020, he didn't play during that COVID year. And I think the season got canceled 3 weeks in. But he was going to redshirt that year, right? And he comes back, and then he's an All-Big South. Then he's an All-American. Now he's one of the top 10 shortstops in Major League Baseball. Like, that four-year progression is kind of what you dream of as a kid. And seeing Ryan Thompson, seeing, oh my gosh, I mean, just the amount of alum that came back. I mean, think about a Heath Bowers. Think yep, about who he's getting engaged now to Shelby Dankert, who's on our staff. And think of Cole Hallam, who's now in law school, and he's the top academic student at Campbell Law. Like, these stories of students who we saw 5 years ago, Nick Thayer, who now is a kid, like, that group of players who play with Hare and Marks are now coming back and are starting to support this new generation.
Yeah, it was awesome. We did some interviews with Zach Neto. Those will be coming out in the next couple weeks. And right here, if you're listening to this, you know, Tales from the Creek podcast every other week. We did a really, really cool Stan Cole and Ryan Thompson that this is sat down. Really, really very interesting perspective. Ryan Thompson, someone that takes his faith very seriously. It's something that started here that really ramped up when he was having success in the majors. So it's a great story. And again, these guys, you would not know they are who they are. But Zach Neto can't go to the grocery store in Los Angeles. He might not yet.
Yeah, it's him and Mickey
nationwide
Mouse. Like, if one of those two walk through Anaheim, they're going to get bombarded.
He might not yet be a nationwide name, but he is the starting shortstop for one of the biggest teams in all of Major League Baseball. And again, he was very generous with his time, very generous with everything that he did here. And Ryan Thompson was the exact same way. Thompson has pitched in two World Series and has been a major leaguer now for half a decade, yet just still so giving in that. And that says something about this program, this place, these people that come to Campbell, and a couple of good ones that have been here with me for the podcast today, and Lyndall Suggs and Evan Budrovich. We still got a big preview to go. So here's my preseason preview interview with Campbell head men's basketball coach Kevin McGeehan. Now in his 12th season as men's basketball head coach at Campbell University, Kevin McGeehan leads the Fighting Camels into year two of the CAA. Over these last eight seasons, Campbell has won more games in that span than in any other time in the program's Division I history. During that span as well, the Camels claiming four conference trophies, winning the 2019 Big South regular season title and Big South tournament runner-up in 2017, 2021, and 2023. Monday night, the season will start here at Gore Arena with a men's and women's doubleheader. The women start at 5:30. The men will start around 7:30. And again, this year, kids 12 and under are in for free to every home game. We're also giving discounts all year long to all Harnett County School teachers, staff, and administration. Those details at GoCamels.com. Coach, how are you doing less than a week before the start of season number 12?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, everything's going well. Practice is super competitive, and I think that's a really good sign.
Good sign as well. Coach, there are so many new faces on this team. Could you tell us who you think we'll be able to see making a big impact out of the gates?
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't talk first about Colby Dugan's development since last year, because I think although he played you know a decent amount last year, he's really come along, and physically, confidence wise, so I think he's someone that is a older face that will be able to help us quite a bit this year. Of the new guys, I think they all have a chance to really be impactful. You know, just kind of going down the roster numerically, I guess Broggy would be the first one that sits there at number six. Doing really well, super athletic, really, really aggressive in how he plays the game. And I think he has a chance to be a guy that continues to develop as the season goes along. You know, he was at Penn State last year, but he didn't get much opportunity. We had recruited him out of high school. And then, you know, with timing of stuff in the spring and then coaching change at Penn State, he got a pretty good opportunity there, but didn't get to play a whole lot. And we were thrilled to have him. I think he's got his best basketball is ahead of him. You know, really, really very coachable, very much wants to be good. And I think as the pace of the game settles in, you know, he kind of almost has a tendency to play a little faster than he should. So kind of understanding that pace, I think he's got a chance to really, really be a very, very good player.
What an interesting story, too. He's from Iceland.
Yep. He's from Iceland. You know, we were watching him on film and really liked him. We're kind of in the process of recruiting him before he went to Penn State. And one of the reasons why he caught our attention is that his brother was, A-10 player of the year at Davidson. So, you know, naturally you're like, well, let me take a look at this kid. He's probably pretty good. I think his other brother went to St. Louis as a player. Injuries cut his career short at St. Louis, but obviously some talent in that family. And, you know, Broggy is no exception. Very, very good player. I think his best basketball is ahead of him, which is exciting. You know, sometimes you get transfers and they're a little further along in their career and you see a shorter window for growth, or they're more developed as a player. And so you also see that. I think he's got a large window of growth left, which is super exciting. And Cam Gregory is coming from St. Francis, who we had an opportunity to play against last year. I wish he had had about four less points than he did in that game. We probably would have come out of there with a win. But terrific player, very, very poised, like just has a great pace to him, understands time and space and, you know, things look easy for him and he makes others better. I think that those are his greatest attributes. He's got really good length. So defensively, the slighter in build, he's actually pretty basketball strong. You know, does a really good job keeping guys in front of him and using his length, and really just has a knack for kind of scoring in multiple different ways and doesn't press his game at all. Like knows when to throw it to the next guy because that's a better shot. All that stuff. I think he complements Jason really well. Israel Yaw, he's actually been on the shelf here for a couple of days, but he's just getting back into the mix, but super athletic kid. Really a joy to be around, just super personality, really, really engaging and positive person and plays with really good energy, just, you know, attacks the offensive glass, affects the game on the defensive end with his length and athleticism. Really has a chance to work his way to where he can really help us because he brings a different dimension to the game. You know, I can envision a game where we're like maybe slightly flat during a period and he can go provide a spark and energy to a game and, you know, just with a dunk or a block or, you know, a deflection, all the things that he does really well. Seems to have a really good understanding of his strengths, and also plays to those, which I think is an underrated tool or attribute today. You know, I think a lot of kids are unrealistic about what they are, and they maybe play outside their strengths because they're trying to prove what they can do, which might not be a strength in the moment. And it actually ends up impacting him in a negative way. I think he's very in tune with what he's good at and does it consistently. And I think that allows him, it's going to allow him to continue to grow on the court and sort of improve some of the things that he's not quite as good at, which I think is a super positive. And because of his attitude, it really makes a difference.
Well, in this length, he's 6'9" out of Ghana, and that's just 6'9". You can't coach 6'9".
No, yeah, it's like he feels all of 6'9", you know, when he's out there, just because his activity level is so present that it really, you know, it's noticeable. So it's not just tall guy, you know, it's tall guy that impacts the game because of size and length and athleticism. Caleb Zerlini is a transfer from Division II McKendree. He actually graduated this summer. And so we didn't have the benefit of having him through the summer workouts. But he's done a really nice job getting up to speed. I think he has a chance to be special. Really, a game-changing type talent in that he's got really good length, really good athleticism, incredible balance, and just a really good skill set for his size. I mean, I think he's listed at 6'8", or is that right? Yeah, 6'8". But he has this balance that's like, he has the balance. Like, I think Jason, one of the reasons Jason's such a good player is because he's got tremendous balance. Like, he doesn't put himself in a bad spot too often. He's constantly, like, has a good base and balance about him. And Caleb has a similar balance at 6'8". You'd almost think he was 6'4", because of how well balanced he is. So, but I think he was fourth in Division II in shot block shots last year. That's just something that translates. You know, he's a guy that can switch. He could play on the perimeter defensively. He can also, you know, guard inside. But really, really good player who I think is going to have a massive impact on our team. Next up will be Taryn Frank, who's, you know, he's played a bunch of places. He started at TCU, then went to Vanderbilt for a year, and then last year was at Idaho. And just a really good, experienced player that's strong and has a good, strong base underneath him. Has a great understanding of how to play the game. I think it fits really well with what we do. And that, I would say that throughout all the guys we brought in, that they're all just really good fits for how we play, you know, with an emphasis on skill at all positions, with the ability to kind of dribble, pass, and shoot everywhere. And then athletically, our length is good to be able to defensively impact the game in a different way. Taryn's no different than the rest, probably a little less lift, but very good with his shot fakes and understanding of when to throw it out and all that kind of stuff. And between him and Eric, who's kind of the last of the new guys, they're, you know, both will play our honcho position and I think can do a really good job complementing each other. And, you know, on a day that somebody's in foul trouble or whatever, not having a great day, the other guy can really go in and help. But Eric's been terrific. He, you know, we had seen him throughout his high school career, but he was just a little bit, you know, he just was tracking at a higher level, which is why he ended up starting at Ole Miss. But he was kind of playing more as a perimeter wing, kind of almost like a tall three man, like a three and D kind of high major player. And I think both at Ole Miss and at Wilmington, he was kind of just, wasn't necessarily a match for his, with how good a match it is with us. Like, now playing the honcho, he's, you know, getting shots that are step in threes as opposed to, you know, sprinting the corner to spot up and, you know, getting a chance to play a little more inside out. He's a good passer. And so I think he's going to have a chance to really be good. Had a really nice, did a really nice job in the scrimmage this past weekend.
And then you mix this in with a really good returning nucleus here of some guys that have some experience. Jason Sinani, of course, headlined your comebackers. He, after a position switch in the middle of last year, just came on and became one of the best scorers in the CAA. And then you have Gidimis Mokcekis, as experienced as they come, having his fifth year. Elijah Walsh was a starter for you last year. Omar Harris from walk-on to a guy that was your first guy off the bench. Tassos Cook hampered by injuries, but that's a real experienced point guard. And, I mean, it seems on paper this is a deep team, one of the deepest teams you might have ever had.
And you didn't even mention Nolan Dorsey, who was with us all of last year, but was, you know, unable to compete. And, you know, he's really a special type defender. He brings an energy and an intensity that's unlike really anybody I've ever coached. And I think it has the ability to be contagious with the others. And it kind of fits the way we're trending defensively of more aggressive. And so I totally agree with you. I think we got a really nice mix of returners with some experience, and in some cases like G, a ton of experience. And then this mix of experience and younger new guys that are all going to be able to really help us. I mean, I think that the depth is pretty significant.
And you have put together just a really, really challenging non-conference schedule here. We talked about the opener on Monday. You'll go at Virginia in this first week, a good matchup against St. Francis the first Sunday. And then you go on the road, Coach, from November 17th until December 18th, a month there. You have one home game and the gauntlet that you're facing at Navy, at Ohio State, at Evansville, at Green Bay, at the Citadel, at Morgan State. Tell me what that stretch will do for your team.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that number one, it's like when you break it down that way, it seems quite overwhelming. But
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pile it all up.
No. However, we just have to look at it as a game at a time. And, you know, one of the things I think we need to improve on to become a really good team is to be road tested. And, you know, to win in this league, you're going to go somewhere other than your home court to play three or four games to play for a championship. So, you know, we love playing in Gore Arena. We love our fans and everything that comes with playing home games. But having to play outside of the confines is what's going to really kind of test you and sort of strengthen your mettle or your resolve or whatever you want to call it. And we'll certainly be tested there. You know, I think we'll very much – Those will feel like more chunked than the way you just described them, and that, you know, Navy's kind of an outlaw, separate, and then, you know, you chunk Ohio State and Evansville together, and then we'll come home and go back to Green Bay, and then we'll get a home game, and, you know, it feels a little better when you chunk them out like that. But for our guys, it's just like, you know, we're in this, you know, prove it mentality, and there's no better testing ground than having to do it on the road against good teams. And with the schedule is by far the hardest schedule we've had since I've been here. And so, you know, it's prove it time.
Yeah. And when you do finally get home, some really, really good home December games, which, as you know, are very hard to get. You got Coastal Carolina coming in here on December 4th and Longwood on December 18th. And I know, by the way, not in that stretch, but your final non-conference game of the season at North Carolina on the ACC network on December 29th.
Mm. Yeah. It's good to get some good, solid, sort of contemporary-like opponents in your own building, you know. When you're building a schedule, it's not always as simple as, well, why didn't you just get them? Because the other team has to want to play. They have to have the date. So it's more complex than I think the average person probably realizes. But I think it's good to get like a Coastal in here, which, you know, long ago in the Big South, they were a rival, and, you know, it's regional relative. And then Longwood, who, you know, there is clearly a rivalry, you know, going back to all the Big South matchups. And, you know, Griff does a terrific job, and You know, have the utmost respect for the program that he's built there. And they'll be good and they'll be ready and they will feel like a CAA opponent, because of the style of play that they play. That will be like going up, you know, and playing Towson. You know, they're physical, they're, you know, defense oriented, very, very tough. And that'll be a really good test. Obviously, games like Carolina are, you know, a totally different animal, but the Longwood ones are important because I think that we kind of know exactly what we're getting, and we get, you know, that's going to be an important game for us to try to play well.
You know, but my question is, here in your second year in the CAA, what did you discover from the first year? But you've answered it by, number one, you're recruiting. There is a lot of 6'8", 6'9", guys that you needed to bring into this program because of the size and then the tough schedule and the tough schedule on the road. You were prepared last year, but it seems like you really, really know what you need to win in the CAA now.
100%. I mean, I think the biggest thing, you know, going into the league, and we knew that it was going to be really good, high quality competition, was kind of two things. One was the depth of the league. So 14 teams, a lot different than nine. You know, and last year we were preparing a new scout every single day. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to be new this year, because personnel is changing at a high rate across college basketball. However, you know, there's going to be some familiar concepts for the coaching staff because we've done it. We've been through it one time. So when you, you know, get Drexel on the opener, it's like, okay, well, you're not starting from scratch. Though the personnel will likely be very different, and that may alter some of the things that other teams are doing, because, you know, you lose the big guy like they lost, you know, the next guy may be just as good. He's probably going to be different, and he might be not as good, in which case they might lean on their guards more or what have you. So, you know, it'll definitely be, you know, game to game in that respect. However, I do think we'll have our legs under us a little bit more as far as just having a general base of information on all the teams. Now, they were all preparing for us new, but they were all doing it one time. We were doing it 13 times. And so I think that will give us a bit of an advantage. But the other thing is just that the physicality of the league is on a different level. So if back in the Big South days, we would have said, right, Longwood, we know is that physical, strong, you know, defensive minded, very well, that's the league in the CAA. Like, everybody's strong, deep, athletic, physical. And so I think we definitely had that mindset going into recruiting of, this is where we need to get better. We need, you know, we'd like to add shooting skill everywhere, but length and athleticism is at a premium when we're looking for guys to complement what we have already in the program.
There's really a buzz around this team, Coach. It started in the summer when people in the athletic department would come by my office after, you know, going by one of your workouts and being like, have you seen these new guys? Have you seen they're talking about the height, the athleticism? And I know you're as excited as you've ever been for this team. This is a team to get excited about.
Yeah, there's no question. I think, you know, nationally and you know, throughout the league right now, we're not being thought about too much, and I don't think it'll be long before that changes, because I think there's depth of talent and athleticism. There's an excitement about guys being in the gym, workers and guys that are hungry to prove it, and you know, I think that makes coming to work every day really fun. And, you know, I think we're going to put ourselves in a position to have people get excited. I want them to be excited right now, because I know what I'm seeing every day.
Yeah.
You know, I've done this a fair amount, you know, for a fair amount of years, be it, you know, here and other places. And I know what a team looks like when the components are there. You know, obviously there's things that are going to factor in. The schedule's challenging. You know, health is always going to be a thing. That's for, you know, baseball, football, it doesn't matter the sport. soccer, you know, staying healthy is critical. But I think there's a lot to be excited about. I think not only the talent infusion and the athleticism infusion, but stylistically we'll feel a little bit different. Somebody will walk in the gym that maybe saw us in the past and say, oh, they look different, because there's a different level of aggression to what we're doing, particularly defensively, but offensively as well. I mean, we have, you know, pretty much every time a rebound or a steal occurs, it's not like, where's the point guard? It's whoever has it is going. And that creates a different set of dynamics. Because one of the things that makes you effective in transition offense is that teams, two things. One, teams typically load toward the ball. We do too. Everybody does, because, you know, the ball's what scores, right? But then it's like trying to figure out matchups. And if you're able to push with pace and the matchups are messed up, well, I know how we do it and probably most do. You know, you're trying to put your guys on the best matchups possible. Well, if because you're able to push and transition, there's cross matches, then what you've practiced defensively really has to go back to your principles, which sometimes guys aren't in those positions to guard, you know, when you're going over the set plays and things like that. So it's actually a huge advantage. Kind of, you're hoping to score quickly, but the other part is also having them not be nearly as congruent defensively when you start whatever you're going to do after the transition push.
Finally, Coach, this is year 12 for you here at Campbell. This is year 14 for me as we get ready to start this basketball season. Now, it doesn't seem like that, at least to me. It doesn't seem that many years until I see your three children. You had two little boys and literally a baby girl when I met you 12 years ago, and everybody is all grown up. To tell me how the family's doing.
Yeah, everybody's doing great. You know, you couldn't be more right. It's like a blink of an eye. You know, I get the memories, whether they come up on my picture roll or through Facebook or whatever it is. And, you know, a lot of times it's like, man, just give me one more day. Just give me one day. Let them at that age again. You know, because it does go by so quickly. And I think, you know, as a coach, you try to balance life and your job. And, you know, it's hard because sometimes there's sacrifices that have to be made, and, you know, you miss out on some things, you know, and try to do everything I can to be a part of everything that they're doing. But, you know, when you get those photos, it's like, oh man, that was so long ago. And those times are harder to find as they get older. But they're all doing great. Grace will graduate from eighth grade, and Jack just graduated from high school, and Connor will be a senior next year. So it's going very quickly.
Year 12, and it starts on Monday night, 7:30 for the men and 5:30 for the women. Coach, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Chris.
That'll do it for this edition of Campbell Call. Thanks to Lindell. Thanks to Evan. Next week, Campbell Call Live Thursday in Anger at Napper Tandy's. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.